Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Monday, April 24th, 2023, live to be broadcast on Wednesday, April 26th, 2023 on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at WHUS.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So, a couple of things. Happy birthday to Diane Marion, Mamo, who I've known for, let's see, what year is this? This is 23, so I've known her for 22 years. I met her when I first got to Connecticut, and she was the massage therapist at the Wellspring Center, the Eastern Wellness Center. She has followed me right along with all the different places that I've been, and she has a wonderful family. She has children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and she's everybody's Mamo, which is Celtic for grandmother. So happy, happy birthday to you today. Love you, Mamo. Also, happy, happy birthday to my dear friend Kite, who I've been friends with even longer. I became friends with him in, I think, 1992. And so today is his birthday as well. And let's see. So he's 4 years older than me. He's somewhere in his 60s, and he's out in Portland, Oregon, so I hope to talk to him in the next couple of days. And, you know, when I met Diane Marion, I got all excited because I'm like, oh, you have the same birthday as my friend Kite. And I reached out to Kite because of that, and then we wound up spending time together when I came to Connecticut, so that was kind of fun. So I do talk to him once in a while. He taught me to play the marimba and the imbira, the Shona music instruments. So I learned the music of Zimbabwe from Kite. And now Kite has a very special instrument that he has developed called the Kite guitar. And it's based on microtonal scales. So the tones are next to each other in a much more mathematical and pleasing way than a basic scale, the way it's set up on the piano, so that all of the notes you can play in any scale in the piano. But if you tune something microtonally, it's a more perfect scale. So it's very interesting. If you want to look up the Kite guitar, you can look that up online. And so, and the other person who's going to have a birthday, if you're listening today, Monday on Facebook Live, it will be his birthday on Wednesday. And if you're listening today on WHUS at 10 o'clock, it's Ron's birthday today. So he's going to be deep into his 60s.
And, stop.
And so we're going to have kind of a fun day with a little bike riding, eating, bourboning. Well, he'll do the bourboning. I'm not going to do the bourboning. There's no point. I would spit it out. It's wasted on me. I'd rather have some wine or something if I'm going to do alcohol. Happy, happy birthday to my man. And I hope we have many more wonderful years together. All right. So there's that. So the next thing I wanted to tell you is that there's going to be an art show. So my friends Phoebe, Tina, and Erica got me together to talk to me about that they wanted to come on the show, but we're not set up right now to have guests still. And we really need to get that together. So what we're going to do is, I'm just going to read their flyer. So I want you to know about their art show. The art show is called Trigger Warnings, Shadows and Reflections Art Show, exploring experiences of trauma, addiction, abuse, mental illness, and the healing journey. It will be opening on the full moon, which is Friday, May 5th from 5 to 8 p.m., and May 6th and 7th from 12 noon to 4 p.m. There will be a Saturday poetry reading and open mic that will begin, it will begin and sign up by 12:30, featuring performance by Devin Samuels. There will be a mask making workshop on Sunday at 2 p.m. All of these wonderful things will be occurring at the Molten Lava Gallery, which is hilarious because we have a Molten Street in Willimantic, and it's not spelled like molten lava, it's spelled M-O-U-L-T-O-N, but it's the Molten Lava Gallery, which is at 31 Molten Court in Willimantic. That's Molten Lava Gallery, 31 Molten Court in Willimantic, Connecticut. There's parking on the street and in the lower lot. There is a suggested donation, but no one will be turned away, and proceeds go to Natchog Hospital for art and writing supplies. So do consider checking out the Trigger Morning Shadows and Reflections Art Show. That's opening on Friday, May 5th, 5 to 8 p.m., and then Saturday and Sunday, May 6th and 7th from noon to 4 p.m. Art, poetry reading, mask making should be a good time. 31 Molten Court, Willimantic, Connecticut. So there you go. So, okay, so I read that. That was good. All right, so now let's get into our show. Let's see. So last week was a very busy, intense week because I started seeing patients on Monday. I saw patients on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and then went right to the CNPA conference. So that's the Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association. And so that's a great conference. I am really liking having the window open because I can hear birds. Okay. It's nice. Hearing birds. Did you notice that
background studio noise?
There's lots more birds now. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm enjoying pulling out. There's just a reminder that you can get the Merlin app, and the Merlin app, it's from Cornell University, and you can download a packet for whatever region you're in, and then it will identify birds for you by their call. And if it's a woodpecker, it will identify the bird by its peck. No kidding. I was so excited when we heard that.
I heard one of those huge woodpeckers the other day, and you can tell the difference. It's just a much more, it's a deeper volume.
Deeper volume and a little slower. And
they're the ones that make those giant holes in the trees.
It's really interesting that different woodpecker, different species have different rates and tones of pecking, and that they can be identified on an app. That's very cool.
Go Cornell.
I know. Go Cornell. Yay. It's the ornithology department of Cornell has made a lot of people really happy. I have so many people, like my friends on Facebook, who've discovered Merlin, and then they post their... You can sit in your yard. When you have a lot of birds in your yard, you can sit for 5 minutes and run that app, and you'll get 20 species. It's so exciting. The deeper into the season you get. We're not quite there yet, but, well, I mean, I haven't tried it in a couple of weeks, so I'm sure there's more species out there. There's definitely somebody out there right now. I can't tell if it's a song sparrow or a catbird or what's going on there. All right, so let's talk about the CNPA conference, the Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association conference. Was at Foxwoods this year, which was very interesting, so I had to go down to the casino. And on a busy Friday, it takes... over 45 minutes to get to the casino. On a not so busy Saturday, it takes half an hour. Go figure. Mm. There was a lot of cars. And getting out of there, it took me almost an hour to get home because there was an accident on 395. So I had to avoid that and take 164 and get out of there that way. And so because I went through Preston on Route 2, does that mean I passed your dad's old place?
Yes, if you went into Norwich that way, yes.
I did. I went right through Norwich. That's
right
how it sent me.
On the Preston-Norwich line.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right and there. I don't know what... I don't think it's a hair place now.
It was a hairdressing studio.
I don't think it is now. I think it's a car place. Wow. If that's the same place, I don't know. You'll have to show me sometime.
I'll have to look next time I'm down there. Yeah.
So I'm going to read to you some highlights from the conference. It's very exciting to go to a conference because when you go, you get to see a lot of your friends who are in the community. And I work so much and I stay so local and I need a lot of rest. So I don't get to see my colleagues a lot. So it was very nice to see some of my colleagues. So aside from hearing great talks, which I'll get to, I want to do shout outs to the people that I hung out with and met and enjoyed hanging out with. So the first person I met was, Christina. I want to make sure I get her name right. Her name was Christina, and I sat next to her both days. Her name is Christina Tandora, and she practices in Scottsdale, Arizona. And she's originally from the area, which is why she was there. And I think her dad still lives in Groton. And so she practices in Arizona. The thing with Arizona is Arizona has very liberal prescription rules for naturopathic physicians. So she does a lot of infusions. And so there are things that she can do that we can't do as naturopaths here, that we have to be hooked up with either somebody who has prescriptive authority in the state. We still don't have prescriptive authority in the state, despite the best intentions and efforts of the Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association. And in fact, we have problems where MDs are trying to get some of our rights taken away, because that's a fun thing in America right now. Try to get people who already have rights to get those rights taken away. That's what's going on right now. And it's a horror that they would try to take our rights away because of the primary care physician shortage. My patients can't get into primary care physicians. Their primary care physicians retire or move, and then they can't get another one, or they find one and they can get their first appointment in 6 months. That's what's going on right now. So people are going to make more use of the emergency care system. That's just how it's going to go. People are going to go to urgent cares and people are going to go to the ER. And that's a very expensive way to do healthcare. Because what if something happens to you? You don't have a doctor to call. So meanwhile, we naturopathic physicians, we're well equipped to be primary care physicians. We are trained in pharmacology, and we don't have prescriptive authority. And we're trying to get it. And the thing is, we would make great primary care physicians. But there's only 300 and change of us in the state at any one time, which is ridiculous. There's so few of us. And that number holds about steady. That's about how much the state supports, because we do have good insurance coverage, but we don't have prescriptive authority. And people tend to, if they have ambition, they tend to leave and go places where they can do what they want. So, and if they want to have prescriptive authority, they want to do infusions, they want to have better laws, they go other places like Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, where they have very good laws, and you know, we can practice pretty much like primary care physicians. Even Vermont, you can be a PCP in Vermont. So anyway, so it was really great to see meet Christina, who does things like infusions, and she does trauma release. And when I asked her, we had a great talk by Danielle Wilson, who's a naturopathic physician who practices in New York and Connecticut. She talked about an ayahuasca journey. So I asked Christina if she would be interested in that. And, you know, a lot of people are open-minded to these things. So it was very interesting to talk to her. And so it was nice to have a buddy for a couple of days, because we sat next to each other for 2 days. So shout out to Christina Tondera. Okay. The other person I stood and talked to for a while was Amy Rothenberg. Amy Rothenberg is a naturopathic physician who's been practicing for many, probably 40-ish years. And she's married to Pearl Herskew, who is a well-known, they both do a lot of homeopathy, and they've both written a lot of books about various topics, including homeopathy. They're both very, very smart. And their practice is up in Northampton, Massachusetts. And by the way, Massachusetts is now licensed. I don't think they have insurance coverage, but they are licensed in Massachusetts now. And so that's exciting for them. And so they have a nice place in Northampton. They used to practice in Enfield, Connecticut, but I chatted with her and she's written a new book. And let me see. I think I have the name of her book. It is, here, let me find it for you. Maybe I didn't write it down here. Okay, well, she wrote a new book, and I did purchase the book from her, which was exciting, and she signed it for me, and she told me about exciting things about how she opened her house. They have a room in their house, and they practice ballroom dancing there, and she's just such an eclectic, vibrant, amazing person, so it was very inspiring to talk to her. I got to chat with my friend Lauren Young, who heads up the Connecticut Naturopathic Health Partners company. So she has there, it's pretty amazing, because they are a company, a corporation that has a number of satellite clinics. They have one in Manchester and Glastonbury and West Hartford. They have a relationship with Eastern Connecticut Health Network, which is pretty amazing. So, and she got an award for being some kind of a naturopathic award of the year, the Vis Medicatrix Nature. Anyway, she got a nice award. And so it was nice to connect with her. She's very busy with all of the practices. And so it's always exciting, inspiring to talk to her and to see a bunch of her practitioners there, one of whom was Carissa Fiorito, who is a naturopathic physician as well as an APRN, an advanced practice nurse, who gave a talk about health goals, and that was very exciting. So I saw her and I saw Mariah Hinchy, and Mariah Hinchy was, she gave a talk as well. And it was very, it was lovely to see her and talk to her, because she gave me some advice about, my, post COVID vaccine symptoms. And I'm going to consider getting some of the herbs that she suggested. And so, so I had a lovely chat with her and caught up with her a little bit. She gave me some suggestions, which I'm going to follow up on and decide if I want to. I mean, I'm taking so many things right now already, but and one of the things that she said to me was, do you realize that after you get the vaccine, there's roughly a 19-month period where you still have spike proteins on board? So I've heard different things, but that was her estimate, and I would not be surprised. And she said to me, when did you get your vaccine? I said, well, the one that was injurious happened in November of 2021. And she said, well, you're coming up on 19 months. I'm like, yes. And I certainly feel a lot better than I did a year ago at this time and a year and a half ago at this time. So thank goodness for that. And I'm hoping that I'm escorting, if there's extra spike proteins inside me, I'm hoping that I'm escorting them out at a more rapid rate. I told her some of the things I was taking, and she thought it would be a good idea for me to take certain herbs, which I will get into. If she didn't say it in her talk, I will tell you what those are. Okay, so so great to connect with those people. Great to connect with the various vendors. So the proper way to feel after a naturopathic conference is completely exhausted and like your brain is going to explode. So mission accomplished. Mm. And the thing was, I had to go to Foxwoods. If you've ever been to the casino and tried to park somewhere and then get from the parking garage to wherever you want to be, it's not easy. And I think it's by design, right? It's because...
Yes.
Yeah. So explain that.
Well, it's the casinos are, there's a lot of things that casinos do by design.
Yes.
One of them is to eliminate the need for windows, which windows create you, they give you an idea of what's going on outside.
Yes.
They don't want you to know what's going on outside. They want you to know what's going on inside so they can suck your money out of your pocket. That's it. And there's a lot of stimulation. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of flashing lights. It's all designed around drawing you into their environment. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. To make you walk from point A to point B without getting there easily makes you spend more time in the casino, therefore falling for the draw and the attention that it's creating and trying to, you know, place upon you.
Well, you're going to pass opportunities to spend money. Either you're going to be going by a slot machine or a, you know, a craps table or a, you know, a card table, or you're going to be going by, in my case, a Tanger outlet. And there were a lot of those.
The other crazy thing that they do is they pump oxygen into the room.
Oh, they do?
Extra oxygen.
Did not know that.
Yes, because it makes you feel more awake and more alive. So therefore, you'll spend more time there.
That didn't work in the celebrity ballroom.
It didn't work in the celebrity ballroom.
No. I was like, I wanted to sleep.
It's probably not being pumped in there. It's probably being pumped into
the
main
casino area.
Right.
I gotcha.
Right. That's the idea. Which is the other thing that they do. And the minute they see you sitting at a machine for a long period of time and you've been there for a while, the drinks start pouring.
Yeah.
And they don't charge you for them.
Wow.
They just keep pouring them and encouraging you to... Stay there, stay drunk, stay happy.
Oh,
it's really kind of a terrible thing.
They did get me.
healthy.
I did spend some money there.
Mm.
I went to a candy store and I bought a chocolate bar. Just one.
Yeah.
I didn't buy anything else, but the chocolate bar was worth it. It was not a cheap chocolate bar, but it was delicious. It was really, really good. It had truffle and Irish whiskey in it. It was so good. I have one square of it left. I gave you a square, and I have one square left for myself. And I didn't care so much about the Irish whiskey. I could have done without that. I mean, it gives it a little interesting kick, but the chocolate, quality of the chocolate and the truffle inside was delicious. It was really, really good. And, you know, I felt like, oh, I can savor this. This is lovely. And I was a good girl and, you know, only ate 1 to 2 squares over several days, and I'll have my last square today probably, and that'll be it. But that's all I bought, this one, you know. It was a pricey chocolate. I mean, we're not talking... $1 million, but you know, was I mean, there are co-op, there are bars, at very healthy, holistically oriented chocolate bars at the Willimantic Co-op that are that price. So I didn't feel too bad, and I didn't come out of there with a bag of stuff. I just bought the one bar, and I actually went to that store the second day, and then I walked around. And I was like, the thing was, a lot of the candy at that store was pedestrian. It was a neat candy store that had old timey candy, but it had, like, you know, things you could get at the grocery store or the convenience store. And I'm like, I don't really need to spend lots of money on this. I would rather spend a little more at the Willimantic Food Co-op and get something that's like, because, so for example, if you have a thing for jelly beans, I love jelly beans. And you can get Jelly Belly jelly beans if you want to, but they're not necessarily naturally flavored. If you get jelly beans at the health food store, they're going to have real fruit flavors in them, and they're really, really good. And I think they're better in quality. You're not going to get as interesting colors, but you are going to get really terrific flavors, and I prefer those. And, you know, I'd rather have a little tiny bag of those than get a whole bunch of Jelly Bellies that are, you know, questionable, you know, artificial coloring and flavoring and stuff like that. So anyway, all right. So what happened to me is, on the first day, I didn't read the email, which was dumb. And I didn't realize that we were at the celebrity ballroom. I thought we were at the grand ballroom. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe somewhere on earlier literature, that's what it said. So I thought we were at the grand ballroom, and the grand ballroom isn't even a thing anymore. And it's in the Grand Pequot Tower. So I pointed my car to the Grand Pequot Tower, and I parked there, and it was really, really far from where my conference actually was. And I needed people to keep directing me to where to go. Thank goodness I had several young men who either very carefully directed me where to go or walked with me. I was very grateful for that. They walked with me a ways and then said, all right, when you get to there, I want you to go there, 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 and there. And I had to do that a couple of times per trip on the first day. And then I had to walk a long way. So I got a good walk in, but it took me like a half an hour to get back to my car because I didn't know where I was and have to ask several times. The second day, I realized I had not looked at the email and realized that we were at the celebrity ballroom and that it was in the Fox Tower and that I should have parked in the Fox Tower. So I did that. And I did everything it said, and I followed the instructions. And because I'd parked in the correct place, as soon as I got into the casino, I saw people I knew. And they were like, just go over there. That's where it is. And it was so much easier. But so the thing is, you know, you would think, oh, why would they have a naturopathic conference in a casino? It wasn't so bad. I mean, the reason they had it there is because they really do have good facilities, and they have a good conference room. Once I was in the celebrity ballroom, you're not near the casino. It just looks like maybe the carpet was a little fancier, but it was no different than being in any of the conference rooms that we had been in any of the hotels that, you know, the Courtyard by Marriott or wherever else we had been. It was nice. And they had, the food was really good. They had really good naturopathically oriented lunches for us. They had great salads with, you know, beautiful greens, arugula, and had shaved fennel in it, which is really delicious. We should get fennel. And that's the thing to do. When you get fennel, you shave it and put it in the salad. So good. It was really, really good. I thought they were onions because they were shaved into the salad, you know, the way they were shaved into the salad. So delicious. And my friend Christina, she said, no, that's fennel. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can eat that. And it was really, really good. And, you know, so they had chicken, and they had mostly gluten-free stuff. And, you know, that didn't really matter because they had a lot of vegetables and produce and healthy protein. And they had bean options for vegetarian people, so it was really nice. And then they would have crudités as snacks. They didn't have like cookies as snacks. All they had was fruit. They had different kinds of fruit for snacks, or they had crunchy vegetables that you could dip in hummus, and that was the snacks, like in between. Because a lot of years we would go to a hotel and there would be cookies or bars or something. They didn't have that. It was interesting. And they wanted us to use the water. They provided us with little Foxwoods water bottles, but we were encouraged to use glass water bottles and refill them, and they provided water for us. So that was nice. You wind up going to the bathroom a lot because you're sitting all day and sipping on stuff. And they did have coffee and tea for us, and they had alternative milk. They had regular milk, and they had oat milk and almond milk, so that was nice. All right. So you probably want to hear what I learned about. So I guess I'll start talking about
that. Yeah, what'd you
about
learn
that.
About?
Yeah. So the first speaker was Todd Bourne. He's a naturopathic physician. We had him on the show a number of years ago, and he was happy to see me. He hugged me and told everybody who was standing around that he had been on my show. He practices in Gig Harbor, Washington, which is outside of Seattle, and he does mostly telehealth. And he talked about... He talked about allergies and allergy treatment naturopathically. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the highlights of some of these talks. I'm obviously not going to give you the whole talk. So anyway, one highlight of his talk was that a lot of people take antihistamines. They take antihistamines for allergies, allergy symptoms, because it reduces histamine. Histamine is a compound that you make in your body that gives you symptoms. And histamine also makes you sleepy. So you take Benadryl, which is diphenhydramine. Diphenhydramine makes you sleepy. People will take it for sleep. Some of the sleep aids that you get that have sleepy names that you can get over the counter at the drugstore are actually diphenhydramine. They're the same drug as Benadryl. So this is a very wide statistic, but there's an 11 to 80% increased risk of dementia risk from taking antihistamines like diphenhydramine. Why? Because they have anticholinergic side effects. The cholinergic system in your brain, I'm pointing to my brain, the cholinergic system in your brain is part of the cognitive parts of your brain. The cognitive pathways in your brain use acetylcholine as their main neurotransmitter. So if you take compounds that block acetylcholine, they downregulate the functioning and the structure of your cholinergic nerves. So if you take a lot of diphenhydramine, doesn't matter if it's for allergies or for sleep, over time you can have cognitive deficits. So be aware of that. That's why it might be a good idea to talk to your friendly local naturopathic physician about how to help your allergies and help to reduce your histamine without using antihistamine drugs. So then he talked about sublingual immunotherapy, and he talked about sublingual immunotherapy, which can be just as effective and less dangerous than injections. Injections can give you hives, that you can get an anaphylactic reaction from injections. You have to go in to see the doctor every few weeks, and you can, there are ways to get them so that they're not so expensive, so they can be really, really helpful. Then the other thing, the other highlight, the big tip that I got from him is over the years, I have heard all kinds of things about vitamin D. I do keep track of my patient's vitamin D levels, but he stated that the studies show that vitamin D only needs to be at 35 to 45 nanograms per milliliter for optimal health. There are no more benefits. So you could probably get up into the 50s as well, but there are no added health benefits above 45. And then if you get over 60 nanograms per milliliter, it's actually harmful. Then you're going to start seeing atherosclerosis. You could see atherosclerosis. You could see kidney stones and other kinds of calcification that you don't want. But if you look at reference ranges from various labs, the reference ranges can go as high as 100 nanograms per milliliter. And they've done studies with lifeguards where they put them in the sun and they measure their blood levels and to see how much vitamin D they make. You know, so a lifeguard's going to sit there, especially if it's a guy. If it's a guy, he's going to be wearing nothing but board shorts, you know, some kind of shorts, and he's not wearing any other clothes. So he's getting full sun on his body. And if you get a woman who's wearing a bikini, for example, or just, you know, a two-piece, so she's getting as much sun as possible on her abdomen and her torso and her everywhere else, they measure their blood levels and find that they really don't, and they don't give them vitamin D, they find their vitamin D doesn't really go up beyond 45 nanograms per milliliters. Why? Because the body has a shutoff mechanism. You can't get your body to be over 45 nanograms per milliliter without taking some. So I think I'm going to cut back on how much vitamin D I have my patients taking. I'm going to let them get to 45. If they're in the 50s, if they're comfortably at, say, 50, I might keep them there. But I'm not going to let them get into 60 and beyond anymore. And if they are, I'm going to have them back off. Now, if you come in and your vitamin D is 12, I'm going to give you a bunch of vitamin D to take, but I might back off on the dose after a while. So that was a great tidbit because, you know, you don't want to take too much vitamin D. You don't want to make yourself sick with taking too much vitamin D. And, you know, I find people who can't get up over the 40s and into the 50s, well, they really don't need to be. And the only way to get over 45, like I said, is to take some. And on the other hand, I routinely see people in the 20s in Connecticut and below in the teens. And occasionally someone comes in and they're in the single digits. So that is not unusual. And that's because they don't get out in the sun and or they're not eating a healthy whole foods diet. If you eat some fish, if you eat a wide variety of foods, if you eat some animal protein, you're going to be more likely to get some vitamin D in your diet. If you get outside, you're going to make some vitamin D. So anyway. All right. Then we heard Eugene Zamperon, and I believe Eugene Zamperon is practicing in Watertown. The last place I knew that he was practicing was Watertown. He talked about a few things. He talked about psoriasis, and this was a highlight for me because, you know, I'm used to thinking about psoriasis because my mom has it. My mom is doing great with it now because her psoriasis had a big stress mediating factor, and once she moved to Florida, her psoriasis got a lot better. And my mom asked me, why do you think my psoriasis is so much better since I moved to Florida? So I had to ask her a couple questions. So first of all, was daddy alive when your psoriasis got better? And she said, yes. So now they had an interesting relationship. My father was an interesting man. And so there was some stress involved in my relation, in my mother's relationship with my dad. So I wanted to know if my father had a stress component, created a stress component for my mother, and if that was part of why, like, did, so for example, did her psoriasis get better after my dad passed? My dad passed in 2016. She said, no, my psoriasis got better pretty much right after I moved to Florida. I said, okay, so that means that whatever stress went on with dad, that level of stress wasn't enough to put you into psoriasis. But what there's a few variables that happened when you moved to Florida. One of them is you got out in the sun more. And sun, as we know, ultraviolet light is a treatment for psoriasis. So it's really helpful. They used to do that psoralens therapy where they put some cream on you and then you go sit in an ultraviolet booth. And it would help your psoriasis. So she got out in the sun more. And the other thing was she stopped working. She retired. So even though being with my dad was somewhat stressful, the stress of her working was much, much greater than any stress that my dad gave her. So, you know, when she was in Florida, even though my dad could cause her stress, my mom is very independent and she was able to do other things and, you know, make friends and get out and read her books and do things that she wanted to do. So her and sleep in a way that worked for her. And so she was able to live a lifestyle that just didn't have the stress of her everyday work life. So I said, I think it was a combination of reduced stress because of your work and the fact that you're in the sun more. And she may have changed the way that she ate as well because only because when you're not working, you can be more mindful. You can eat more mindfully. When you're still working, you're always planning ahead. If you have a stressful job, you're probably snacking on things that you shouldn't. You know, people bring you stuff, or you know, I know for me, at the end of the day, when I'm doing my charts, if I have a little healthy chocolate bar, I'm picking on a couple of squares of chocolate. So you tend to do things to keep you going that you might not do. And I even on days that I'm not seeing patients, I tend to eat less chocolate during the day because I'm not sitting at my desk. I'm moving around and I have more access to something that I might find healthier, like a piece of fruit or some nut butter or some nuts. And so you eat differently. So that probably That probably had an effect as well. So what Dr. Zamperon said is psoriasis is not a true autoimmune disease. And that was kind of mind-blowing for me because I always think of psoriasis as being an autoimmune disease. But he said that it doesn't generally have autoimmune markers, that if you have somebody with psoriasis, they'll get the diagnosis based on the nature. If they have psoriatic arthritis, they'll get the diagnosis based on what their joints look like, and they'll also get the diagnosis based on what any skin lesions look like. And they often don't have biological markers. They don't have an ANA or rheumatoid factor or other, you know, inflammatory markers that you usually see that go along with inflammatory conditions. And so his recommendation to help people with psoriasis is to use old nature cure stuff. There was a page, and he referenced the page out of Murray and Pizzorno, the textbook of natural medicine, and you know, that this great big binder that we got, you know, when, and I don't remember when it was written. It was written in the 80s or 90s, and anyway, so I got it when I was in naturopathic school. I don't know if I may still have it floating around somewhere. And so there's a big page on it and talked about old-timey stuff like bowel toxemia, which you should clear. So bowel toxemia is, you know, you've got too much stuff that's stagnant in your bowels. So if you're eating too much meat and not enough produce, things are not clearing the way that they're supposed to. And you're supposed to reduce your red meat intake simply because if you eat too much red meat, it can putrefy. If you're not moving your bowels as well, if things are not moving through your colon, it can sit in your colon and putrefy, and you can, and because it's putrefying, you're going to absorb certain compounds back into your system, which are going to cause cellular changes, and it could make you have psoriasis. Of course, psoriasis has a genetic component to it, and you know, my mother probably inherited it somewhere in her family line, because she had cousins who also had psoriasis. And so not everybody gets it. Obviously, she didn't pass it to me or my sister. And my father must not have had it in his gene line. So I didn't get enough genes to manifest it. So to help psoriasis, you do old-timey things. You improve liver function. So you're going to be drinking water with lemon in it, eating beets and carrots and artichokes, perhaps taking milk thistle and lipotropics like choline and inositol. You don't want to drink too much alcohol. Reduce stress, which is what my mother did, you know. So obviously, even though there's not clear inflammatory markers, there are there's still a stress component and there's still an inflammatory component, because the lesions of psoriasis and the joint pain of psoriasis, the joint dysfunction of psoriasis, are inflammatory. So if you reduce stress, you reduce inflammation. He talked about some old-timey things like topical Mahonia. Mahonia is one of the berberises. So berberis species are Mahonia, Oregon grape, and Mahonia and Oregon grape are the basic. There might be more species than that, but Mahonia and Oregon grape are two big ones. I made friends with them when I was out in Oregon, because Oregon grape is a major weed. Golden seal also has berberines in it. So berberine is this bright yellow compound that does a lot of great things. It's a wonderful antimicrobial. It in people with blood sugar dysregulation, it can lower hemoglobin A1C. It can regulate your blood sugar and improve liver function. It can help with fat loss because of its effects on insulin and blood sugar. And when you apply berberines topically to psoriasis lesions, it can help them to resolve. So he talked about Mahonia, but I don't see why Oregon grape wouldn't also work, and golden seal. The interesting thing is that golden seal is, I think it's still endangered. I've always heard that it's endangered. There's another herb, Coptis, golden thread, that also has berberines in it. So you can get berberines from any of those. Thing is, Oregon, you know, if golden seal is endangered, you don't really have to use it, because last I heard, Oregon grape is not endangered, and Mahonia, because they just grow like crazy in the forests in Oregon. And there are tons of forests in Oregon. I mean, you just walk if you're in Portland and you go for a walk and there's a wooded section, there's going to be Oregon grape growing there. And if you go to the real woods, like you go into the mountains where there's lots and lots of trees and all the firs and stuff like that, on the ground there's going to be growing Oregon grape. And you know it's Oregon grape. The leaves look kind of like holly leaves, But holly leaves are a little bit rounder, and Oregon grape leaves are more oval-shaped, but they have those spiky things on them. And when you pull them out of the ground, you'll find a root. And if you break open the root, root is, you know, chartreuse, bright yellow. And that's a doctrine of signatures thing. The doctrine of signatures is, do you know what the doctrine of signatures is?
No.
No. The doctrine of signatures is where you have a plant that it looks like the thing that it helps. So Oregon grape, berberine is basically the color of bile. So it helps bilious conditions, that things that have to do with the liver and bile and stuff. Hawthorn berries are the shape of a heart. And they're red, so they help you with your heart and your blood vessels. And grapes and all kinds of berries are somewhere along the lines of the colors of blood vessels and blood and your heart and stuff. So they all help with your blood vessels. They have anthocyanins that help to strengthen your blood vessels. You know what the French name for dandelion is?
No.
Pissenlit. No, pissenlit. Pissenlit. You know what it means?
No.
Pee the bed.
Why?
Dandelion leaf is good for your kidneys.
Oh,
and bladder and stuff.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, and dandelion root, when you open it up, it's not particularly yellow, but it is a good liver tonic as well. So there's a lot of herbs like that. So anyway, so Oregon grape and Mahoney and all those things that have berberine in it and have that bright yellow, it's doctrine of signatures. He talked about the plant Attractoloides, which I don't know too much about, but he said Attractoloides is another helpful herb for psoriasis. He also talked about, for dandruff, very simply, salt water rinses and coconut oil for your hair. Just simple salt water. Doesn't have to be fancy. You don't necessarily have to get a dandruff shampoo. The zinc pyrethrin that's in some dandruff shampoos is antimicrobial, and there are often microbes that feed on the excess skin sloughing that happens in dandruff. But just good old salt water can be very helpful. Salt is a very potent antimicrobial. I mean, that's why salt water is nice in your nose for allergies, because if you have any, we all have microorganisms growing in our nose. And when you spray salt in there, you're going to kill some of them and you're going to have less inflammation, and that leads to less allergy symptoms. So if you do a salt water rinse for your hair, or you go swimming in the ocean, or, I mean, one of the things that my mother did was, you know, when she went to Israel, she went in the Dead Sea. Dead Sea is full of salt. What grows in the, what lives in the Dead Sea?
Nothing.
Right. Everybody thinks that's a trick question. They're like, I don't know, bacteria? I'm like, no.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Right, exactly, because it's just too much minerals. It can't support life.
Salt is...
But it's very healing to go in the Dead Sea. You just have to be careful if you have any open wounds, and open wounds includes a paper cut, or you scratched yourself and you got a little scratch. If you go in Dead Sea, you're going to feel it because it's very stingy. But there's all kinds of spas at the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is interesting because you have to be careful when you go in the Dead Sea, because you're so buoyant, you may not be able to right yourself and stand if you get turned the wrong way. Whereas, you know, that's not as much of a problem if you're in the ocean or if you're in a pool. So anyway, salt, just salt rinses for dandruff. How cool is that? That's why I love to go to these conferences, because you find things out, or you get great reviews, and you learn things that you didn't realize. He talked about Frankenstein. You know what Frankenstein is?
Nope.
The diagonal earlobe crease. I don't know if you have that. Do you have that? You do have a you do have a diagonal earlobe crease.
What does that mean?
Oh, greater risk for cardiovascular disease.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, I know,
I'm
right?
I'm already there.
Oh, let me see your other ear. You do. Look at that. You have Frankenstein.
Well, I already did that.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
been
my
there,
God.
Done that.
So he said that really is a correlation, and it may have to do with the nature of the circulation going to the ear, and that it's been studied. He talked about seborrheic dermatitis that can happen on your head. And with seborrheic dermatitis, you're going to have sort of a wet dandruff, and seborrhea, because it's the sebum is flowing. That's what seborrhea is. And that can be helped with topical B6 and by taking biotin as well. And then he talked about acne, and he made an interesting statement. He said acne is diabetes of the skin. So that was very interesting to me. So that means that if you do blood sugar regulation, you're going to improve your acne. I'm always telling people about how acne is a hormonal issue. And I do explain to them that insulin raises androgens. Androgens cause increased sebum production. And you have sebaceous glands that are sensitive to insulin and androgens. So they puff up, and then bacteria on your skin go, sebum, and they start eating them. And then your immune system goes, no, you can't be here. So you get little white blood cells that are going after the bacteria that's growing and eating the sebum. And now you have zits. That's how that works. And so if you cut it off at the source and you keep your blood sugar regular, you're not going to have the elevated insulin. You're not going to have the elevated sebum. And the bacteria is not going to go crazy, and your immune system is not going to go crazy. You have less acne. But one of the things that he stressed was not only, doing stuff for, because what I tell people is I give them all kinds of ideas on how to manage their hormones, that, you know, eat more produce, eat more fiber, drink more water, get exercise. Really basic naturopathic stuff is really good for acne. But he really stressed making sure they eat fiber, that get them pooping, because, which makes sense too. That's another way to manage hormones. You're not going to have as much exogenous hormone if you are having regular bowel movements, because you're going to have good quality gut flora that's going to help to prevent you from reabsorbing hormones into your system. And you're also just going to be going to the bathroom regularly. And so instead of reabsorbing those things, the stool's going to move on through, and it's going to carry extra hormones that have been tagged for release through your system. So just plain old eating fiber. If you're not getting enough fiber, if you're not having, you know, decent bowel movements every day, and you're prone to acne, you're going to be more likely to have acne. There was actually a study where, wait for it, all bran. People who ate a bunch of all bran had less acne. Now, really? Obviously, you know, there's a concern with wheat, and if people are gluten intolerant, that the all bran can be a problem. But if they're not particularly gluten intolerant and they eat the all bran, what's the all bran going to do? It's going to make them more regular. So I don't tell people to eat all bran because I'm worried about, and you'll hear there's a talk later where we talk about glyphosate in wheat, but you know, if you have the bran from the wheat and it makes you more regular, that's going to help you excrete those extra hormones and help to regulate your blood sugar so you have less acne. Makes sense, right? And of course, zinc helps with regular cell differentiation and skin healing, as does vitamin A. Quercetin is a great anti-inflammatory bioflavonoid. Quercetin, by the way, has antihistamine effects as well. Everybody loves Scoot Bake. You know what Scoot Bake is? Scutellaria bakelensis. It's Chinese skullcap all over it. So Scoot, it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory. Aloe. So aloe topically is probably going to be helpful. Aloe and comfrey topically are probably both going to be helpful, both topically and internally. Vitamin C can be helpful too. And then he also talked about bee pollen, propolis, and honey. All right. Then we had Dr. Peter Bongiorno, who went to Bastyr. So I didn't. So a couple of these guys, they were Bastyr people, so I never met them. And Todd Bourne, I didn't know either. I think, they all went to Bastyr. And I went to the National University of Natural Medicine, as it is called now. So Dr. Bongiorno talked about mTOR. And I always think of mTOR sounding like a monster. But mTOR used to stand for the mammalian target of rapamycin, and now they call it the mechanistic target of rapamycin. And rapamycin is an antibiotic, and the mTOR is involved in a lot of inflammatory conditions. And it's very involved, and I didn't know. I like to talk about things that are interesting and practical for people on this show. So I would say that talking about the mTOR pathway is going to be more interesting to us geeks and how things work. So I'm not going to go deep into mTOR with you. But one thing I did learn is that if you mTOR inhibition, if you inhibit mTOR, the mammalian target or the mechanistic target of rapamycin, you can slow aging. So exercise can help to increase downregulate the mTOR pathway, and in order to get to downregulate this inflammatory mTOR pathway, you have to exercise at the right level for you. So that was fascinating to me. They did a study where they had rats that didn't exercise, rats that had access to an exercise wheel. Maybe it was mice. Let's say it's mice. Mice that had access to an exercise wheel, mice that didn't have access to an exercise wheel, and mice that were forced to exercise. So what they found is that the mice that didn't exercise didn't have as much downregulation of their mTOR signaling, and that both the mice that exercised voluntarily and forced had downregulation of their mTOR systems. So that therefore they were going to have less aging, right? But there was something that was interesting. Between the voluntary exercise and the forced exercise, guess who had more downregulation of mTOR signaling?
I don't know who.
The ones who've got the voluntary exercise. So what's okay. That? So if you force yourself to exercise,
you're going to create more stress?
Yes, and you're going to age faster.
Really?
Yes, because you're... So what does that mean if you're exercising voluntarily? These mice, they don't care about if they're skinny or fat or if they made a target or if they, you know, checked a box. They don't care about anything like that. They have an exercise wheel there. If they feel like going on it, they go on it. If they don't, they don't. If you exercise that way, in other words, I really feel like getting out and riding my bike today. You know, today I'm kind of tired. I'm not going to get out on my bike. And you don't worry about whether you met your goal or whether you got your exercise for the week or whether you did your intervals or whatever. You just exercise when you feel like it and you don't when you don't. So you exercise when you have the energy and feel like it, and you don't when you feel tired or you're not up for it. That's better for you than forcing yourself to exercise all the time. That's what we found. That one of the things that happens, I don't know if this was Dr. Bongiorno that said this or somebody else, they talked about when you live in a cortisol bath, and a cortisol bath is my term, that's something I talk to my patients about. If you live in a cortisol bath all the time, your brain will shrink. That's what happens. They see shrinking of the brain.
That's
so
bizarre.
If you do... too much exercise, if you're obsessive about exercise and work out when your body is telling you not to, you will age faster. And what does aging faster mean? You're going to get shrinkage of your brain. You're going to have cognitive issues. You're not going to be able to sleep as well. And your body tissues will deteriorate faster. So this is going to be a shock. Too much exercise is not good for you. So Hippocrates said it best.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple things that I was like, boy, if I learn nothing else at this conference, this would be the most important thing I learned, most important take home. Hippocrates said, if we could give every individual the right amount of nourishment and exercise, not too little and not too much, we would have found the safest way to health. Got that? I'm going to say it again. Hippocrates said, if we could give every individual the right amount of nourishment and exercise, not too little and not too much, we would have found the safest way to health.
Yeah.
So too much exercise is bad for you. Not enough exercise is bad for you. Too much food is bad for you. Not enough food is bad for you. Too much rest is bad for you. Not enough rest is bad for you. All right?
Right.
Good. So curcumin inhibits the mTOR pathway, and all these people are telling me, you look great, Fran. You look so youthful. I'm like, some of that's going to be hereditary. My family probably has long telomeres, but I also take a lot of curcumin ever since this whole COVID thing. I've been taking a lot of curcumin, so I'm inhibiting my mTOR by taking curcumin, among many other things. Alpha-lipoic acid also downregulates mTOR signaling. Alpha-lipoic acid can also help with obesity. And it's also a COMT inhibitor. COMT is catechol-O-methyltransferase, which is something that breaks down your norepinephrine and other catecholamines, which rev you up. So if you're anxious, you don't, if you break down COMT, it's not good for, it's going to be helpful for depression. So in other words, if you're breaking down your catecholamines too much, it's going to tend to calm you down. If you break down, COMT breaks down your catecholamines. So if you have more COMT around, if you can't break down your catecholamines, you're going to be more anxious. So it's not good for anxiety, but it's good for depressions, because you have more catecholamines, which are going to cheer you up. So alpha lipoic acid might not be the best thing for anxious people, but good for depressed people. He's a really big fan of castor oil packs. Castor oil is really good for, you slap it on your liver, you get a flannel and you douse it in castor oil, then you heat it up a little bit in the microwave, and then you put it on your liver. You can attach it with a belt or a pack, or you can adhere it to your liver and you can sleep that way. You can put it on for a few hours, and it'll help to move toxins through your body. Really great old-timey detoxification and liver stimulating protocol to do. All right, so that was what Dr. Zamperoni, Dr. Bongiorno said. We learned about mTOR. So I'm thinking that we're just about out of time. So I have loads more to talk about. It was a very rich conference, so I have more things that I'll talk about, and we'll get back to it next week, because there was so many interesting things that I learned. One last thing I'll leave you with is that MK4, which is a form of vitamin K2, improves bone density, and it's studied to improve bone density and prevent fractures independent of how much calcium, magnesium, and vitamin D that you take. So that was very exciting. Thank you to Peter Neustadt for teaching me that. And so that means that probably my patients are going to get a little more MK4. I'm taking MK7, which is another, that's been studied to help with bone density, but not necessarily fractures, because the end point of treating you for bone density is to prevent fractures, not even necessarily to increase. If you increase bone density, but you don't prevent fractures, you haven't done anything. So that was fascinating. We're going to talk about that more next week. All right. So I'm going to go now. It was great to talk to you. Happy spring. I hope you're enjoying the flowers that are coming out, and the flowers are coming out a little bit early. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org. Happy birthday, Mamo. Happy birthday, Kite. Happy birthday, Ronnie Poo.
Ronnie Poo.
You are Ronnie Poo.
I am.